Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, greetings and welcome to this episode of Talk Straight. It's your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. We're back off after a brief stay away. Let me begin tonight by thanking each of you who've expressed your condolences and well wishes in the passing of my late brother, Mr. Benjamin William David Shelton, Sr. We're grateful to all of you, and we took time to be with family and to remember him and to send him on as he has made his transition. And we all have to go that way one day. That's the reality. Nonetheless, again, I want to thank each and every one of you. And we're back here on Talk Straight, which is our national dialogue. And as we promised, we starting back tonight. And unless something else comes about, which we don't anticipate, we hope to be able to continue our flow here. All right. But tonight's show, we're playing or presenting the show that we had scheduled for March 18th, where we were answering a question, again, that was posed a couple of years ago that is relevant today, still yet. How do you get residents of urban American streets, neighborhoods, communities to be unified, right? The premise of that question is based in the 6 suggestions a few years ago that I offered and shared. And we've been talking about them back and forth here. And what I want to do is to reiterate that, because where we find ourselves in 2021, here it is, March 30th, 2021, is a position where there are many people who are wondering, as we move forward from the setback, disappointments of 2020, and many are looking forward to moving forward. Some people have lost their businesses and lost their jobs and other opportunities. Well, the question is, where there are individuals who are growing economically, prospering, exactly how do we keep your boat floating during a low economic tide in America? And that's our topic. That's our topic tonight. How do you keep your boat floating during a period of low economic tide? Obviously, there are some people that are doing it. Cars are still being sold. Homes are being sold. Other businesses are thriving. Some smaller businesses have struggled. we begin the year with the focus on encouraging entrepreneurial development and efforts, particularly by young people who may have been or are currently despondent. So we stick with that. We stick with that theme, and we hope that we'd be able to offer some support, some encouragement, some information that will be useful to many. So our topic tonight on Talk Straight, this is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. We realize that we've been away for a couple of episodes, and some may have, we invite you to come back. Friends on Facebook that are following us live stream, feel free to jump in here, 657-383-0944. That is the number to call, 657-383-0944. And perhaps we'll have a somewhat abbreviated show. We typically go 2 hours. We may go about an hour and a half tonight, but we'll see how things go there. All right, 657-383-0944. March 30th, wow, the third month, it's gone. Tomorrow will be over with. If anything can't get done between now and tomorrow, it'll be over with. All right, but here we are. How to keep your boat floating during a low economic tide. That's our topic tonight, and this tide in America. Proverbs, the 29th chapter, verse 17 through 21 has some instruction, something to consider, to ponder. Verse 17 reads like this: correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give the light unto thy soul. Verse 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. He that keepeth the law, happy is he. 19 says, a servant will not be corrected by words, for though he understands, he will not answer. 20 says, seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is no more hope of a fool than of him. Lastly, verse 21, he that delicately bringeth up his servant from a child shall have him become his son at length. Interesting. Now, what I'd like to do is to kind of understand the mindset of many who find themselves drowning, or their boats, they have holes in them, leaks, and they're trying to figure out, how is it that I stay afloat? Okay. Some have even gotten water in their vessels such that the water is weighing it down. Well, I want to give a little background here and understand the mindset, the mentality that could lead one to not think about this process of how to keep your boat floating and therefore find themselves sinking. Okay? In 2021, all across spectrum of America, neighborhoods that have been in poverty for decades are being revitalized with the very funds that government has set aside and allocated to improve the overall conditions and quality of life for those people who live in what has been previously termed as ghettos of America. Their proverbial boats, as I said earlier, are sinking, while others seem to be rising amidst an economic wave of progress. Such economic shifts as a simple change in the price of gas. Have y'all noticed that? It affects food items that you purchase. They go up. Things like milk or bread. The cost of living is affected by it. The cost of medicine, just to name a few. All of these things can literally make or break some people who strive to maintain themselves. Now, there's a popular view among many in urban America that the reason poverty exists and people struggle is the rich people. And oftentimes they couch it in the terms of white people. Well, you do know that white people are not the only people that are rich in America. All right, but let's move on. They suggest that they keep all the wealth to themselves. Furthermore, poor people, they would argue, or oftentimes black people, minorities, can't get ahead because someone is intentionally holding them back. Moreover, they are justified in any protest, any rioting, or any illegal activity of self-destruction because they got a gripe, they got a chip on their shoulder, and they are righteous in their indignation. This mentality is consistent with a term used in psychology known as displacement. Well, let's examine this displacement and what is this all about. What are you talking about, Doctor? In Freudian psychology, this concept, displacement, simply means to shift or move. Unconscious defense mechanism whereby the mind substitutes either a new aim or a new object for the goals felt in the original form or that you set out for yourself, as you aspired for. And they say now that these things are dangerous and unacceptable. So you started out with a hope, with a goal, and now you've convinced yourself these things are no good for me. This term started with Sigmund Freud, and it is based in the idea of transferring emotions or ideas or wishes, being most often used to calm one's fear and anxieties about facing challenging situations. Find yourself facing a challenge. You start out on a road, and then you start hitting a few bumps in the road or see some danger in life. Then you start telling yourself, well, maybe I don't want to go this way anyway. I ain't really want to go there anyway. Watch this. The aggressive drive that's known as mortido, right? Listen to this. People in business and even athletic competitions or such as hunting or things that require you to go out and compete, they often use this concept for mortido. In such scapegoating behaviors, aggression may be displaced into people with little or no connection with what is causing the anger or the frustration. In other words, they begin to take it out on somebody else. People that have nothing to do with your frustration become the brunt, the victims of your frustration. And what you do is you displace blame and you displace the responsibility that I should have for myself on someone else by saying it's their fault. Displacement can also act in what looks like a chain reaction with people who unwittingly become both victims and perpetrators. You can victimize yourself, and we see that happen a whole lot. In fact, people cheat themselves of opportunities to do for themselves by conveniently saying that I'm a victim. Somebody has wronged me, and therefore I don't have to do anything. In fact, they should give me something because I've been wronged. Here's an example of what I mean by that. And this is kind of heavy right here, but consider it. And then I'm going to list some things that I believe would be helpful in understanding how you keep your boat floating, things you can do. This is an example of the displacement that I was talking about. where you not only victimize yourself, but you victimize other people, cause a culture of destruction and backwardness. A young man is angry with his father for not being there, for not teaching him certain things, keeping him safe and guiding him. But he cannot express this anger because the father's nowhere around, right? Can't reach him. He can't talk to him about it. So he can't process this appropriately, right? And what he does is with this anger is he displaces the frustration for his father on another young man that looked just like him, that lived on the same block next door to him. And y'all walk with me. The other young man in turn says, wait a minute now, I ain't going to be your victim. So he arms himself. He takes an aggressive stand, a defensive stand, against the assaulting young man who was simply displacing his frustration with his father. What happens in the end is that the young man in turn who has taken a defensive position now becomes his enemy and say, I have to preserve myself. I'm not going to let him destroy me. That ain't his problem, ain't my problem, but he has become my problem. What happens and what results is a cycle of violence, cycle of retaliation between two young men who once existed in one community. This displacement. And oftentimes what happens is unfairly somebody else has become victimized by your frustration, your lack of preparedness, your fears of drowning. Now, in reality, unconscious drives motivated by physical, social, emotional threats for years in urban American neighborhoods and communities has brought too many good people, I would argue, across urban America to the point of stagnation at this present moment. I want to emphasize that these are still good people, just stagnated, stuck in the same place. Because of a process of learned helplessness, the people who they turn to for guidance, for support, for example, they tend to live in a state of frozen fear. As the rest of America, however, is moving on, right, and they welcome the economic opportunities and ties of success, their folks are rising while others are sinking based on unrepaired damage over a period of time, placement and other things. Allow me to reiterate some of the suggestions that I offered a couple of years ago and we're talking about this topic that is still relevant here in 2021. How do you keep the boat floating during this low, what appears to be anyway, low economic tide in America? Well, one, I would submit to you that working collectively to revitalize your family and those that are closest to you in your neighborhood, it would provide the structure, the trust, the discipline, and even stability for young people who will one day become adults and for adults currently who are despondent. So a collective effort or unifying in the effort to revitalize your area, no matter how poverty stricken it may be. Okay? Be aware of policy. This is what's happening now. There are a lot of rules and regulations and policies from government that are coming down that are directly affecting your neighborhoods and, in fact, affecting your money, your income, acquisition of such. But you're not aware of it. You're not aware of how it is that it looked like overnight your neighborhood could change and you be priced out of it. So be aware. Make sure that you're in council meetings and in contact with your elected officials to know what new laws or policies or existing laws or policies will directly affect you, right, that affect the economic shifts in your area. Such awareness can position you to benefit from changes as opposed to losing out on new opportunities. Particularly, be disciplined. Uh-oh, doctor, you're meddling now. Beloved, be disciplined in how you spend your money. Y'all know that many people have gotten stimulus checks, second rounds of them. And I understand that the intent is to get people to reinvest in the economy and things of that nature. But if you were behind already, why not spend that money on your bills, on your rent, on your utilities, on things that are essential to you and your family? No, doctor, can't tell you how to spend your money. I ain't trying to do that. I'm just saying, in general, if you're thinking yourself about the resources you have, guess what can happen? You can sustain them longer, and you can make sure you're not always out in the cold. In addition to that, you can start building toward generational wealth for future generations. That's all I'm saying. Four, establish yourself as an entrepreneur in the capitalist system of free enterprise. Why, doctor? Everybody can't own a business. But doggone it, some of you ain't got no job no more. So maybe you need to go and take your skill set that you have and turn it into a business. Guess what? There are new resources out there for you intended to help spark the economy by building and reinvesting in business. Best time ever to consider an entrepreneurial venture. Yep, in 2021. So establish yourself. Guess what this will do? This will empower you to control your economic independence and, in fact, your quality of life when you do that. Is it going to come with challenge? Absolutely. Is it going to be easy? Perhaps not. What is reported is that most businesses within the first 3 to 5 years will determine how long you stay in business, right? What you do within the first 3 years, really, is going to determine how well your business is staying. So it's going to take some work. Some discipline, but you can do it. Four, unify the members of your neighborhood, your community, to work in agreement. What happens is there are a lot of well-meaning people who get up and they start out on their own with the intention to help everybody, but they're only one person, and it's called burnout. You can burn yourself out quickly, right? Well, the structure, we talked about this at the beginning of the year. The intent is to work with other people. Now, we have some existing organizations or groups within neighborhoods that we tend to look to, such as churches, social organizations or educational institutions, even businesses. Finding a way to have all of those working together within your neighborhood, within your community, will establish social continuity, right? Not only for this moment, but if you do it right, it will last for generations. And that's the thing that you need to be able to keep your boat afloat with everybody else. Not being upset with the next man or woman, but using your wit, your talent, your skill to position yourself to rise your own boat. And then lastly, control the politics of your community. You've heard this often. When we control decisions and the power base of decisions in our community, how do you do that? Black's Law Dictionary defines a citizen as being a member of a political community. That means you simply have a vote, you have a voice. And working together for the good of your whole neighborhood and community can only help everybody. And this is how you control them. by setting an agenda. This happens a lot of places. Yes, in a lot of urban American neighborhoods and communities, we don't see that structure, that organization. But I'm submitting to you now that you can have that, and you should establish it if it does not exist already. Right? Making sure you're informed about those who want to represent you, who currently represent you, and using the power to place people in positions that best represent you. This makes it unlikely for you to become a pawn in the proverbial game of chess. And beloved, again, I want to emphasize that these things are designed to benefit who? You. They come by way of suggestions. So James Carr had a song some years ago that he put out, and powerful song. Maybe going on the glory now. But James Carr, listen to a song. Listen to what he says about a drowning man. What do you do to a man? Excuse me, that's drowning. Listen to him for a second.
Push me when I'm falling, and you keep me when I'm down. I guess I missed my calling, cause I should have been a sustain yourself, even amidst a low
economic tide in America. What can you do? Because some people are seeming to be doing quite well, and they're prospering, understandably. Everybody can. I'm convinced that everybody can, and I believe that that's really the essence of the American ideal and dream, if for those who want to materialize it and make it a reality. Of course, we can make excuses. We can blame others or get into displacement, as I made reference to in the monologue, or we can be proactive here. But give me a call here, 657-383-0944. That is the number to call. If you're joining us here, you know, we'd love to engage in conversation. We'll be going for a little bit, at least another 30, 45 minutes here. So I'd love to entertain your question or comments. If you've heard what we have to say, you listen to us on First Facebook Live, and if you'd like to pose a question or comment, I'll be happy to entertain that, try to answer those or share that with our listening audience. You can post your comments or questions as well in the Facebook thread. For those of you members of the group, BFC Institute, we'll be happy to entertain that as well. Hopefully we'll have Pastor Waller join us here very shortly. But nonetheless, we move on. I know he is often busy himself throughout the week, as many are, and we appreciate everyone who has joined us and who will join us in the future there. So we would like to encourage you to give us a holler here. Hey, there he is right there. Let's go to the phone lines and welcome Pastor Ricky Waller to Talk Straight tonight. Let's see. Pastor, how are you, sir?
Hey, I'm all right, Pastor Doctor. How you doing?
Good. Appreciate you coming back there. And we're talking about how to keep your boat up floating during a tide, an economic tide in America. You don't know if anybody that your boat. You know how you're on the water, and the water's rising, and if you got a hole in your boat, you start sinking. The water get in your boat, pull you in the boat down, and some people drown. You don't know nobody in that situation, do you?
No, I don't. I don't know. At this point, I know that there's a lot going on. I do know that.
Yeah.
You said you was talking about the topic again. I wanted to make sure I got the topic very clear on what
you're
talking about tonight. And go ahead.
Okay. I was just going to reiterate that largely what we talk about is how to survive and maintain yourself and to be productive, you know, to where you don't – a lot of young people are getting caught up, man, and losing their way out of desperation, right? Things are not like they wanted to be, and they're getting caught up. And we're talking about, as we begin at the beginning of the year with the show, is encouraging and motivating them to be productive and – maintain themselves. That's really, in essence, what we're talking about in our topic here tonight.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, this is what Stand on the Ground is all about, is to discover what can be done, what is changeable, and some of the things that, you know, when a person is already doing things appropriately and have a foundation and they're. But you also have those that are not. And then that's basically one of the greatest concerns about lost people. Always consider myself being that person. And what would I desire if that was me? Would I desire someone to help me, help myself, or do I just continue to just stay lost and, you know, no one is concerned and I just keep doing my thing? So it's always about the loss. You know, that's what Jesus himself gave an instruction, you know, to go out into the loss, you know, go out into the world and preach the gospel. I mean, that's the good news, I was told. And so, you know, that's what I would say, man. It's always about the ones, you know, who are struggling. And if you have something to offer, then you would step up and be glad to assist other than that.
Yeah.
You know, there's three things, Pastor, that I remember in my early relationship with this new way of life. It's
okay.
Like lead, follow, or get out of the way. You know, it's not going.
Okay.
That's
all
just
right. Weird.
Yeah. So, you're going to finish all those categories.
Okay. I've heard military people use that similar axiom there. Lead, follow, get out of the way, man.
Right.
And that, you know what? That is so powerful, man. Because you find a lot of people, all they are hot air. They do a lot of talking, and mostly all they are in the way. Can't nobody else do anything because they want to be seen. They want to be heard. They want to be recognized, but they're just in the way, you know?
Yeah, that's
the last thing I want to do, Pastor, is find myself be a part of the problem, you know? And I do think that there are a lot of people who want to help. They just don't know what to do or, you know, how to do it. And so you can learn. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying that there's no role for them. But you do people more harm when you're really not equipped. You understand what I'm saying? In a given thing.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going to start messing and picking with their situation. And you really can't help them. And you do more harm than you do good. So it's almost better you just
right.
leave them alone, you know what I mean, and point them to those who have the expertise, the knowledge, and the wherewithal. I hear you say all the time, you talk all the time about how, you know, you have a specific tact, experience, right, and knowledge base
yeah.
for how to the not only try to resolve or rectify the problems for young men in the streets, but to understand the mindset, right? And to redirect
oh, yeah.
your mind. I talked about in the monologue how a young man who really don't know why he's angry and who he's angry at takes it out on the people closest to him, right? And when
yeah.
he does that, Pastor, he calls those his neighbors to be at odds with them, and they're at war with one another. You see what I mean? And
yeah.
none of them really understand where this came from. All they know is for generations, we've been fighting one another. And then we turn around and blame somebody else for our destruction. And so, Pat, I know you've talked about that a lot, how there are all these big organizations and groups and big names out there, but somehow they don't seem to be solving the problem. You want to speak to that just for a second?
Hold on, Pastor.
Okay, all right. So as he prepares himself, and that's kind of consistent with where we are, it helps us understand why, after the last 10 years, and the 10 years before that, and the 10 years before that, some of the same people who are about 30 or 40 years older are seeing their children and grandchildren repeat the same behaviors and continue in the same cycle behaviorally, economically, emotionally, you know? Not a put-down. It's a recognition of fact. And if we can, beloved, pay attention to that, we can begin to analyze ourselves, right, and identify where we were strong with certain things and where we were weak. Let me give you an example. There was a time that in churches, if a young lady or a young man walked in and they even looked like they were out of order, not one, not two, but a number of folk would come around them lovingly and correct them, beginning with the preacher. Give them wise counsel and redirect them. It seems to be the reverse in many places. I won't say everywhere, but it seems to be the reverse, where those, the churches, many churches, perhaps don't know how to embrace this current mindset, this cultural mentality that is among young folks. And I have two young adults myself, and when I speak with them, I listen because I, not so much for them, but I want to understand their generation. I want to understand what drives, what motivates them, what is it that they're looking for, right? How can they benefit from the wisdom passed while at the same time maintain themselves today? So that's where that lesson comes from. And this is kind of relevant to what we're talking about, keeping your boat floating. Because if you got a vessel, that's what a boat is, that is not stable, chances are you're drowned. I understand we just had a pretty bad flood around Middle Tennessee area this past weekend, and unfortunately, and we pray for those who lost their lives, a few lives were lost, and property were damaged, right? So we're not talking about an actual physical boat, but a symbolic boat. And that's the boat of our circumstances. How to keep those things together. You back with me there, Brother Pastor?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. 657-383-0944, that's the number to call. We'll go back to Pastor Waller there. And I want to encourage you to give us a call. If you're following us on Facebook, feel free to do so. If you're listening to us on the Blog Talk platform, again, I realized that we were off the air for a couple of, really last week. And I want to thank all of you all, starting with you, Pastor Waller, for your condolences and your love and that was shared in the past
with
my brother there in Chicago. But we move on. If he were here, that's what he would say. Amen.
Much deserve to be lifted, you know, because with the work that you're doing, then you had to be on the road and, you know, you had that to deal with and your family. And so we just want to make sure that you be encouraged and know that God is a God who knows exactly what you stand in need of. You know, ask him to continue to strengthen you as you continue to press on. And then when you got back into the city, you went and you got right back on the ground to pick up, you know, where you left off at. So, man, you know, just, again, our condolences goes out to you and your family as a whole.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yes,
you know, and we're all human, right? Things happen, and we have to find. I was telling someone that for years I've told people as a pastor that earth had no sorrow, that heaven can't heal. And pastor, yes, sure enough, preachers got to take their own medicine, don't they?
Yeah, that's it, brother. That's it.
Yeah.
It's just that way.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's it. That's just that way.
That's a natural part of life. Job tells us that if you're born of a woman, you only have a few days. Yes, sir. And you're full of trouble.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. It's so true.
Another text tells us that time is appointed for man to die, and after that comes the judgment. But what we ought to do is get our business.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that right?
That's it, man. That's the time, brother. Yeah, you own a word right about that.
That's
now,
right?
Because that's the word that needs to be heard by many that don't think that there is a judgment time, no matter how you feel right now, what you do,
my God,
what you think of
my
him
God
or yourself. The good
wow
news is that you're not going to get around that sit-down seat, you know, that you
well
got to sit down at. That judgment seat is something that. Now, I haven't seen the judgment seat. Of course, I have to be first to admit that. But as a believer, know, if I can believe in something that's up and I can believe in something that's down, I can believe in something that's right, I can believe in something that's wrong. So I can't get around, you know, the knowledge of me hearing about the judgment seat after death. Now, you say, comes judgment. That means that everybody has to sit down at the judgment seat of Christ, you know, to give an account for what he's done And that, to me, is enough to say, even if I don't see it, I'm going to believe it and just stand this and say, I don't want to try to get around that, you know, because there's no getting around it. And that's what I believe. And so I just have to always believe that what goes up must come down. I used to hit things like that. And I used my basketball for an example. I would throw it up in the air. But guess what I noticed? It came back down. Yeah, my ball came back down. I threw it up. You know, keep from thinking that it wasn't going to come back down. I just believed that, yeah, I threw it up. But it also came back down. And I used to hear people say something. Praises go up. Blessings will come down. I didn't see it. I didn't experience it. I didn't know anything about it. But I just believe that because I threw the ball up and it came back down. I said, well, I'm going to take a chance then. I'm going to get my praise up and then see if my blessing will come down. And I did, man. The blessing was that my life changed. See, I was in trouble. But I was told that if I can just praise him while I was in trouble. Nobody could stop me from praising when he got me out of it.
Okay. I see where you're going right there.
I'm just a believer in certain things. I'm just a believer, man. And, I'm taking many chances, so why not take a chance on believing that? If he said in his word, and it's in there, it's printed, you know, that I would have to sit down at the judgment seat of Christ. So I just say, well, I'm just going to take a chance and believe it. I'm not going to try to get around it. I'm just going to believe it, and it settles it. And I'm glad I did, man. I'm glad I just took it upon myself to say, hey, man, I believe in a lot of other things. So what's wrong with taking a chance on believing in something like that, especially when my life changed, you know? Right. I'm afraid, and when I say afraid, it's just a form of respect.
Okay.
I'm afraid to go back and do what I used to do. I'm afraid to, man, it's just because I respect the Lord so much for freeing me up, in other words, for getting me out of what I was in. And that's just, it's nothing against other people. It's just that I personally appreciate. He could have left me out there, man. He could have left me strung out on that stuff for the rest of my life. He could have done that. Said it myself. I said I was going to use drugs for the rest of my life. I actually said that, man. Mm. And he's my witness. The Lord is my witness, man. He knows I said it. I didn't say it because I wanted to be that way. I said it because I couldn't get out. I didn't know no other way out. And that's when I tried him. They told me about him, I heard about him, I didn't know him, and I just took a chance. That's what chance takers do. They take chances, man. Yeah. Okay. I'm glad I did. Yes, sir.
Let's apply a little of that wisdom that you're sharing with us now and that experience, because in relationship to this boat that I'm talking about, keeping afloat, people say when you get 18, you're on your own, right? You are a consenting adult. And the expectation, particularly for young males, is that you're to have it together. You got to know where you're going, right? Know how you're going to get there and know how you're going to comport yourself on your way there. That don't always add up, does it, brother? Huh?
No, sir. Sounds good.
It sounds good.
Sounds good. Yeah, it really sounds good. But it's more to it than that.
Yes, sir. We know that there are a lot of good young men in particular who get caught up in the system and wind up checking out ahead of time because they're not prepared, have not been prepared for the tide. Talk to me about that.
Follow me.
How do we take this wisdom that have and we impart that? I know you put it in print, put your thoughts, your mind in print so people can read it. They can literally read your mind twice.
Yes,
talk to us a little bit about that basic approach. I listed a few things earlier that were helpful. share with us a little bit of your wisdom. If we had to, if we go in that 6x6 dive room with some young cats right now, what would you tell them about keeping their boat afloat, keeping yourself where you're above suspicion, you're focused and deliberate about your efforts in the day?
Well, I met one yesterday, just yesterday. I went down there, the weather was nice, the sun was shining, and I went down
right
on the basketball court. Because I always try to, another form of moves that I make with the ball. And it didn't have to have nobody down there. Nobody had to be there. I was just going myself. But then so happened, there was three kids rolled up on the bike. And some went right on around, and the other one came on over to the basketball court. I said, well, I just see if I can get one of them to hold the phone while I do this trick with the umbrella. And sure enough, you know, I ended up talking with them, and make a long story short, after they was there for a while, and they asked me, you know, what church did I attend and things like that. And did I have a, you know, like a thing going on with the kids? And I said, yeah, I said, actually, I do. I said, we having a basketball clinic and things. He said, well, I want to be in it. And then it was some other guys that had been down there that's in the streets, you know. And don't you know that kid said, man? He said, I don't want to be what they're doing in the street. And that right there
really
was a plus, just to hear that kid say that. And that reminded me of what you're saying about, you know, keeping his self in a perspective of a child. And he's in high school now. He's not 9 or 10. He was at the age of, you know, still young, maybe about 15 or 16, but he went as far as still gave me his number. He wanted me to let him know when I get started on that. So that's evidence of the hope that we're looking for. Because there's two things about the book, Pastor Doctor. I said there are some people that are caught in the trap that I desire to get out.
Uh-huh.
And there are some that's not in the trap that I desire to keep them from getting in the trap. You see? So if they're in the trap, I'm going to try to get them out. And if they're not, I'm going to try to make sure that they don't go into it. And that's what that little kid reminded me of. He don't want to get involved. But that's not to say that the enemy can't change his mind if the attraction is so strong. So we got to make sure that we keep that hope right there of knowing that there is someone of young that don't want to think that they're grown right now, want to still be a kid. As a matter of fact, they beat me out. We played a 2-on-2 game. And we had them 13-0.
What?
All right? We're going to 24.
Okay.
They end up beating us 24-23. I guess so.
Is that?
You know, so it was a joy. They had a good time with that, you know. And I tell you, man, they did. But I'm just saying that to say the joy of knowing how much fun that they realized they had. They want to be involved now whenever the clinic do take place, you see. So that's a plus,
thing,
man. He gave his phone number, made sure he put his name down, and I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that. I said, showing up? Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Wow. Well, I hope Ben and the others come back and help again. I enjoy working with those brothers, man. And you had a couple
young
men that was working with you as well. We got to capture them. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to partnering with you again on that this coming summer. So,
we'll definitely be
doing that. That's
right. It's a good thing for them, man. I think they deserve that, to know that they'll have a time to recognize how important it is and enjoy themselves in the meantime to get that kind of knowledge of why they're young, where they won't have to wait. Because 18, brother, you know, is still a baby.
You know?
And they want you to be grown at 18, which is a sad case. You know, they'll treat you like you're grown if you get caught up into some stuff now. But they're just babies at 18. And the reason I say that, because I know that to be the truth, man. I was 18 once upon a time, and I realized that I was thinking I was grown before I was 18. So I discovered at mid 18, 19, 20, 21, all the way up to 34, I realized I was thinking like a child, man.
Wow.
I didn't change since I was 34. And it's as a result of my lack of knowledge that the enemy had that kind of control over me. Because a grown person should be able to make choices that says, I'm not going down that avenue. You know, a person of 18 should be able to say, okay, I'm not going down that avenue. I wasn't able to say it at 18, 19, 20, and I just counted all the way up. I was able to make that decision when I became at the age of 34, man. That was amazing. That's when my life changed. Isn't that something? Because I was thinking like, I was just a kid. That's all I was. 34, but I was still a child. Wasn't even able to break a bad habit. Man, that tell me right there, man, I was thinking like a little kid. I'm just admitting it. That's what I'm doing. Yeah.
That's something, you know. We take for granted, Pastor, that because people are chronologically, in other words, in years, they've reached a certain point.
Yeah.
We assume, you know, they got it. And as you're pointing out, you know, there are some people that are in their 20s and 30s who still have the mindset of a child. 40s and
50s. Yeah, I believe that. Yeah, you've grown up, brother. I'm about to say that, you know. I'm about to say that now, and I just humbled myself because I was talking about me. But I've seen and heard those that, at that age that you're talking about that's unable to change a bad habit, man. And that
you know
is,
what I'm
like, that's pretty deep. Yes, sir, that's pretty deep. So you're supposed to be able to choose. You know, okay, maybe if you realize that you have a choice, maybe you can handle it. But if you're at the age of 50 and 60 and you're still caught up like that in that arena, and you don't know that you're choosing to do that versus saying this stuff got a hold on me. See, instead of saying I'm choosing to, they're saying this stuff got a hold on me. Well, you're grown, right? Okay, this is a brand new day. And you should be able to choose to say, I'm not going to do that today. But that that control is so powerful, Pastor Doctor, that it won't even allow you to think that you're grown or to know that you're grown. By age, you know, by age, that's all.
And you know, don't you say,
aren't
people set up like that when people assume that they know things that they don't? Don't you set them up for failure and setback like that? Because you put your responsibility on them.
Yeah, you set them up for failure because it's intentional.
Yeah.
If you can control the person's mind at 50 and get him on that stuff, man, he can't think on his own. No way. I mean, I used to serve a lot of people that age.
Yeah.
But I was young. And so I know they didn't mean no harm, man. They did not want to be like that. They didn't just choose to be like that. They didn't know they were being controlled. So they couldn't use the choice of, I'm not going to do that today. Today I'm not going to do it. I know I did it yesterday, and I've been doing it for many years, but I'm not going to do it today. I haven't met many of them that were able to do that. They died using that stuff, man. The street life of the drugs, it's a purpose for it. And it's not to make you enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
No, it's not to make you enjoy yourself.
We're joined by a brother out of Selma, Alabama. We got just a few more minutes for episode tonight. Brother Don out of Selma, Alabama, welcome, sir. We're on Talk Straight, and we're talking from the topic, how to keep your boat floating during an economic tide in America. How you doing, sir?
I ran into a little bit of difficulty today. Mr. Dockery, I've been having an article since 1984, and my father repudiated Jesse, saying he didn't do the right to vote movement. We got a lady down here named Rose Sanders, been up there with Bishop Walker in your crowd, and I got cousins go to Bishop Walker's church, and guess what, Mr. Dockery? They think you're plumb stupid. You've been caught. I'm watching you. You know who Bishop Walker is. Everybody in Nashville know who Bishop Walker. Everybody know who Michael Graves was. I'm from Nashville. I'm from the streets of Nashville.
So, Don?
And don't tell me about, listen to this, Mr. Dockery. Do not bring your sissy preachers from Nashville and hook up with Rose Sanders. I'm looking
Hold
at
on,
you.
Done. I hear what you're saying. Sound like you got a particular issue, man. And I don't know what to do about that for you right now, but for the sake of our talk.
And, Mr. Doctor, I'm going to let you know this today. Shirley Emerson been telling me the men up there killing each other in the 5th Congressional District. And me and Shirley from Dixon County, same place that Jackson's from. So we looking at you and listening to you. Come on with
me. All right. So let's talk about the killing piece, Don, because I agree with Shirley Emerson that there is too much of that going on. And I would argue that that's because young folk in particular don't know how to balance themselves and keep themselves afloat while everybody else is moving on. And that's really what our topic is about, Don. So we got about 15 more minutes. You have any suggestions about how that can happen, brother?
Shirley told me that you ain't even – let me stop. Hold on. I'm the oldest son of the man did the Birmingham movement, which says that you can go into the system and work. Can I tell you something? Don't tell that lie. I'm from Tennessee. Them crackers, listen, might just come from my daughter. I'm going to call crackers in Nashville don't hire our people because they're Ku Klux Klan. See,
so
I don't want to accept that reality.
How can we have our own so we don't have to rely on them to hire us, son?
Mr. Dockery, I agree with you on that. Mr. Dockery, can I tell you something that you don't know? Right up the street from my grandfather's farm, Colonel Adam has some prime land. Guess what I'm learning?
Okay.
They selling it.
Uh-oh, who is they?
You have to see the land. They
selling
it.
Who's selling it?
They selling their land. How you going to form a bank and you ain't got no collateral for your bank? You never was educated in that. But you just selling it. Every piece of land you get, you sell it.
I see what you're saying. So, Don, we got Pastor Walker on with us, as well, excuse me. And he was saying something that was very important. He was talking about how there are people who live 40 and 50 and 60 years old and still haven't figured it out, Don. They still haven't figured out how to keep themselves economically independent, viable, and in control of them. They're still waiting on somebody.
But listen, Mr. Dockery, if you even went to Charlotte, on top of the hill, we own the whole hill. Go up there and look at it now. And the Europeans got a bank up there. And I'm going to say to you again, if I hadn't took the banking course over at Selma University and found out Lincoln passed the National Banking Act of 1863, which says we can have a charter to own our own financial, I'd still be in the blind. But now I see. Our children, our folks, been miseducated, misguided, and they don't know no better, Mr. Doc. If you never educate them to that, you keep the information hidden. So do you blame them?
No. I'd have to agree with you, and that's what Pastor Wall and I have been talking about tonight, and that is the fact that there is a process by which people have to be educated, right, and also coached into learning the things, the principles, the ideas you're talking about. We assume that they automatically come with age, and it doesn't. Right, Don?
That's right, Mr. Doc. I'm 61. That's what I said. My dad did the Birmingham movement. There wasn't no Jesse Jackson. Come on,
okay,
ABC and CBS done float you down the boat, Doc. You've been caught by the TV, Doc.
Here's what we got to do. When I say we, I'm talking about those that are interested in moving forward, doing for themselves, and not being victims of anybody, okay? You have to position yourself. You have to work and use what you got to get what you need. You got a choice, sink or swim. Is that right, Pastor Wallace? We can sink or swim today. Now, I choose a swim.
Yes, today. Yes, today it is a choice. It is a choice today if we acknowledge it. And that's the beautiful part about the Word of God. When he said, choose you this day, that's wonderful, man.
Right.
You know, a lot of us don't know that, but that's a beautiful thing. And you're talking about the ones that in that age that you made mention of, as we were talking earlier, you know, 40, 50, 60 years of age. And I myself included myself, it took me until I was 34, because of the lack of training to know that I had a choice and I had a right to apply it, but I just didn't know it because that controlling substance that had me, I couldn't think that I had a choice. Mm. It wouldn't let me. And I said earlier, I served a lot of people like that during my time of street destruction. And, you know, they actually motivated me, though, once I got to heading toward that age, I was thinking, man, you're going to be 50, 60 if you live long enough in a minute, so you need to change your life. And that's when I was telling you about the age of 34, I finally did. So, and maybe, as you said, Pastor Doctor, some things like that's changeable like that could happen, and we can get a chance to experience, you know, owning our own, you know.
Sure. I agree with Don that there are people who are taking care of themselves. They're looking out for their family, their friends, and those that are in their little circle. Okay, those opportunities exist for us, too. When I say us, you, me, and anybody want it. Now,
right.
If somebody get mad for standing up and doing for yourself, being self-sufficient, then you tell them to go jump off a building somewhere. Well, I don't encourage somebody to commit suicide, but you understand what I'm saying, Don, don't you? I mean, you
And Mr. Dockery, I hear Pastor Waller, but Pastor Waller, did the Tennessee system teach you banking? Think about it now. It wasn't just your fault. Did the system ever teach you banking? Did the state of Tennessee give you a class in banking?
No, they want me to put my money in their bank. That's all. So no, they didn't tell me that. They knew that. That's a good point. They did.
Wow. And Mr. Wilder, I'm not against you or nothing. Can I tell you something? I'm from Dixon County. I want you to listen to me good. When we integrated school, and I done talked to some of my it really ain't about a color of the skin. It's about certain people knew and certain people didn't knew. Like them Jacksons out there, who's a descendant. They went to Battleground Academy. So you know they talked in banking. But the ones in the public schools there in Charlotte and White Bluff and Dixon, we didn't get that.
So they were taught on purpose, is what I'm saying. And so, I mean, we were taught not so on purpose. Are you saying that? Because if they was taught, then why weren't we taught? It's basically, the question.
Okay.
So,
now, go ahead, Pastor. Go ahead.
Yeah, so it'd be a beautiful thing. It's not too late. I mean, it's definitely not too late to learn some things that it's something that's been kept back or held back from you, and now that you have knowledge of it, you see, and that's the thing about going into the knowledge. One of the things my father used to say, Pastor Doctor, he used to say things like this. Once you come into the knowledge of God, and I'm like, okay, that makes sense because I didn't have it at first. He said, once you come into the knowledge of God, that's when you have it. So now I know. Now what I did know then, that I have the knowledge of God, that he gave me a right to choose today. So I know now. So it's not too late to do some things that can be done that can help the situation concerning the problem that we have, which means it's a solution. The solution is very close. It's near. It's like in reach. Okay, so what do we do in the meantime? Do we sit back and deny it, or do we go forward toward it? And then once you start to apply it, you'll see that it does work, you see. And they and Pastor Doctor said it earlier, you know, if it's available for whoever choose to go for it, that's who it's supposed to be available for. And no one should be able to say, no, this does not fit you. You cannot do that, which is something that has been done before now. I used to hear about that. You got to go over here and drink water over here. You got to go to the bathroom over there. Yeah, see, I know see. Things like that have happened. So it's not to be denied or to pretend like it has happened. But today, you know, hey, look here. It's not that I want to go in the bathroom with you. I want to go to that fountain with you. It's not the point of that. It's that you can just choose to go because that's a fountain. That's a restroom. You can just choose to go in. It says the man. It says the women. shouldn't say no particular color and all that. So things like that, to know that once upon a time that exists, you know, you don't deny it. You just deal with it. You know, we're very humble people. I praise God for that. I think we always have been. But the time has come where we should be able to stand on God is no respecter of person. I didn't know that. You know, I had no knowledge of that. I always wondered, but I just didn't have no knowledge of it. Then when I started to grow up, Pastor Doctor, I ended up in the dope game. So now I done went from a child to a child thinking he's grown. So I'm not getting no knowledge of nothing but the dollar bill. That's the only knowledge I got when I was coming up after I thought I was grown. You understand what I'm saying? That was a part of my life that I look at now and say, man, look at that trap I went into. You know, but I chose to go in it and didn't even realize it. I chose to go in it, even though I chose to go in it, but I didn't put the trap right there.
I see.
Does that make sense? It'd be different, Dr. Doctor, if I put the trap right there. I didn't put it right there, but somebody did, and I went in it, and I'm okay with that because I've come into the knowledge of it, and I'm not going back in that trap again. My goodness. But think about the ones that are in it now. There's a lot of people in the trap right there. In many areas, not just that area, in many areas. And one of them could be what we're talking about tonight. Yeah, go ahead, Pastor Doctor.
I think that's my brother's point here, in that he, of course, he named out some people there specifically, but in general, there is some sort of device that keep people caught up and captured, man, and they can't seem to break loose. But with the knowledge and truth, right, and honest people like yourself, myself, Don, who know better, and to educate our people, no matter what kind of situation they're in. Yeah, it may seem like you're drowning now, but if you simply use the practice of the tools of swimming, you can maintain yourself. You see what I'm saying about Don?
I agree.
And that's where our energy should be, I would think. We can be mad, Don. It does.
Yeah, that's true. And Mr. Dockery, I want you and Pastor Wilder to listen to this. You know the part in the Bible where it says, "He prepare your table before your enemies." Boy, do he do that. Listen to this, Mr. Dockery. In the middle of brawl right now, Thomas County, the young guy, is kind of crippled. He used to belong to Reverend Reese's church. He's got an accounting firm. Right next door to him on Brawl Street in Selma, there's a bank building, empty, for sale, in the middle of our neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
He prepares a table before our enemy if we open our eyes.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And so, Don, the real challenge is getting those people in Selma to see the great opportunity that's knocking before them. Wake them up. And I talked about that in the monologue, Don, how what happens is we're angry and don't even know why we're angry. But guess who we take our anger out on first, Don? One another.
Yep, killing each other, hurting each other. It's sad, Mr. Doctor, but that's what we do.
Yeah.
Can I tell y'all something? Listen to this, Mr. Doctor. When I came to Selma, Gene Jackson, where Dr. King did the Right to Vote movement, she told me the main drug supplier. And, you know, the shame part, like you said, we kill each other.
Right.
We be just fighting and killing each other. Don't even see him. We just be fighting and killing each other about the drugs.
It's hope, though. That's hope. That's the good news. That's hope. And guess what? Guess who represents the hope? I know I do.
Hmm.
I believe Pastor Waller does. And, Don, you have the potential to be the hope that the people need. If we fall short, then what happens? The Bible said, when thou art converted, strengthen. Is that right?
That's right.
I friend with me. Proverbs said, behold how good and how pleasant it is. I'm sorry, that was Psalm 133. For brethren to dwell in unity. you know, when we gonna get together, man? When we gonna put our heads together, man, and make something happen. You know what I mean?
Mr. Doctor, I've been using your word all week long, commune.
Uh-oh.
I've been throwing it on the floor, and it's like it's stopping folk.
Is that right?
When did we commune? And when you throw that out, Mr. Doctor, you know what that remind me of? When I got out of the Navy and I went up there with my dad, with Margaret, Gary, and us, and we would have meetings night after night after night, prayer, meeting, prayer, clinic, church meeting, government meeting, night after night after night before we came up with Organo Farm. When do brothers come together and we just have meetings and study and pray and sing and study and prayer until we come up with our end product or what we going to do? When do we do that? Why do we smoke weed every day? Why do we drink every day? Why do we snort cocaine every day? Why do we drink? Why do we watch TV? Why do we eat much pork and stuff that's killing us? Why come we don't fast and pray and eat vegetables and fruit? It amazes me that our people don't fell so low and don't know how to stay on the high level. It just amazes me.
Pastor Wallace, you quote that scripture all the time. What's that scripture about the trap? What it say, Pastor? Give it to me one more time before we get out. We're gonna wrap up here. Pastor, what that scripture about the trap say? Pastor Wallace, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening.
Okay, but what that scripture about the trap say? The snare. The enemy.
Yeah. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26, it says that we may come to our senses and escape the snare, the trap of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. That's the thing. You know, he has a will. Somebody has to do it, and I used to do his will. So that's the trap, but I escaped. And, you know, that's the scripture, man. It's a great reminder. So for those who don't think it's a trap, see, a lot of times when you're on the show, I hear some of them say, which I understand that they don't know, and I don't want to be feuding with them to try to make them think that I said it was a trap. I said it was a trap before I found out that it was in the scripture. And then when I came back and found that it was in the scripture, I said, oh, my goodness, that is even in the scripture. That is a trap.
Right.
You see? So, yeah, man, that trap is so powerful that if we don't know how to escape the snare of the trap of the devil, and it says the devil set the trap. You know, in my first book, Pastor Doctor, you know, I wrote in there, man, that the devil set the trap. I didn't know nothing about the scripture. The devil set the trap, and I said, I ran into it. He set the trap, and I ran into it. I didn't slip and fall in it. I ran into the trap. Can you imagine?
Head first, huh?
Wow. Yeah, man, that trap did not look like a trap. No, it did not look like a trap, man. Ain't no way in the world I would have went in there. I knew it was going to do me like that for 20 years. No way. No way, man. Not
good news.
Knowing.
Not
you
knowing.
Know, I just
not
didn't
knowing.
Know. Yeah, I just didn't know, man.
All right.
Just didn't
know. Well, listen, Jim. We're going to wrap it up for tonight. Don, thank you for joining us, man. I wish you could have called us a little earlier and got in on the conversation.
Yes, sir. I was meditating. I was just meditating.
Not a problem. There's hope for us. That's a good news. Give us a final thought there, Don. I like where you're going with that thought, man, that we need to take advantage of some things that are right there in front of us that allow us to keep our boats afloat.
It kind of shocked me, too, because, Mr. Dockery, I seen it. And then what really shocked me, I'm out front, okay, at the crack den's on the other side of where the bank building is. And I'm sitting on the porch with some folk, and a sister was raking, and a brother came through, know I'm Reverend Bevel's son, and throwed a question out. And the sister, I never talked to the sister. And she looked up and said, the bank building right there. I said, whoop, there it is.
Even she knew it was there.
Yes, sir. And that's what I'm saying. You know, our sisters are so intuitive, and they're so – when we're thinking they don't really know, they know. They know.
Okay.
We just got to get in tune. We brothers got to get in tune and meet and pray. Meet and pray. And just meet and pray. Just keep meeting in prayer. And like you said, when you said that word commune, that's it. How many brothers going to come together with you and meet every day? And you don't force them to meet. They just come meet you to meet. You know what I'm saying?
Voluntarily. All right.
That's it. Don't punch it, no clock. Just do it.
All right. Well, I hate to cut us off there, but great conversation. Pastor, you want to wrap us up for tonight, man?
Yes, sir. We can do that, brother.
All right, go right ahead.
It's been a joy, man. I thank God for you, Pastor Dockery, and Brother Don, man. We stood on the word of God tonight, and we got some information out there on the street tonight. I shared with Pastor Dockery that little kid from just last night, brother, on how, you know, that hope that we desire is still there. So you never know, we have a little gentleman like him, maybe want to step up and do some things that we're talking about tonight. So we thank God again for everybody who was able to speak, as well as those who listened. Words say, where there's two or three gathered together in his name, touching and agreeing, that he say he would be in the midst of us. So we just want to thank him for allowing us to assemble tonight and trust that time will come where we will realize that we know that together we stand, but divided we will continue to fall. But if we lean and depend upon the Lord and follow his pattern, everything is going to be all right. I yield back to you on that note, Pastor.
All right. Well, with that, we'll be back Thursday, this coming Thursday, 7 o'clock p.m., for another episode of Talk Straight. We're going to leave with the mighty clouds of joy. They say, order my steps in your word. I believe if we did that, we can find our way out of the trap. We may have stumbled into it or ran into it. But with that, we can come.
God, just thank you. All the time, God is...